Hallelujah. We'll be able to tear the bears and the lions. Hallelujah. The Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. I have a burden, you know, for all of you. And I'm going to speak from my heart. I'm going to ask the Lord to minister to your heart. And I'm going to ask the Lord to connect the word. Hallelujah. So that the spirit of this word will get down to you. Praise the Lord. I just want to title this this word I'm bringing to you as maximizing your life. You know, we have only one life to live. Only one life. And we ought to maximize it. We ought to major in the majors and not to major in minors. Hallelujah. You know, I like talking to youths because it gives us an opportunity to bring in some information. It brings us opportunity to bring the message of the kingdom to, so to say, a virgin land. You know, many of us didn't have this opportunity. I can say that you are privileged and you are blessed of the Lord. Hallelujah! Because you haven't taken some major decisions in life, and you stand in a very good position to take the right decisions. There are major decisions in life. The major decisions like the career, the major decisions like marriage, who to marry, the major decisions like the ministry, the calling of God upon my life. And you people will not be like the older ones, like us, who did not have the opportunity of receiving vital informations or receiving the secrets of life. Do you know life has secrets? Hallelujah. Do you know all professions, they have secrets? If you come to me and you have a problem, and your problem may look so simple, but you think it's very big. You may have an ill health that looks so big. There was a case of a man who woke up one day in the morning and couldn't walk. He couldn't walk. And the man was afraid, was about to die. He went to various hospitals. They went everywhere and they checked and they checked. They couldn't find the solution to his problem until he met a man who knew the problem. Do you know what the problem was? It was low calcium in the blood. And when the right dose was given, the man woke up, started walking, and it was like something like a miracle because he met the right person. So in the journey of this life, you will have the opportunity of meeting the right people to give the right information. Hallelujah! So that you will not go through the troubles of life like some of us went through, or some of the mistakes that we made because we didn't have the opportunity of people telling us where to go, go this way, go this other way. Because, you know, life is like a journey. Life is like a journey. And in this journey, you have different stations of life. And it will make much profit to you if you see somebody who has gone through that road. And the advantage is that he will be able to tell you that, don't go this way, go that way. He said, if you go this way, there are mines. to navigate through life in order to maximize this life that God has given you. And so here we are in this meeting over these past days, and we have been given enough information, given the word of the Lord, giving instructions unto righteousness that will help us to make the right decisions in life. Praise the Lord. So that we don't have any regrets. You know, some people after a while they say, if I had known, if somebody had told me, or if I was instructed. But you are privileged that you are in a family. You are in a place where we regard all of you as our children. Praise the Lord. And it is the responsibility of parents to bequeath inheritance to their children. The scripture says that it is the responsibility of parents, as you are being parented in the Lord. It's our responsibility to give an inheritance. And the inheritance we are giving you are inheritance that have eternal value. Hallelujah. It's not just to go to school and acquire your certificate and you become maybe an engineer, or you become a lawyer, or you become a computer scientist, or you become a doctor. But there is something much more than that. That is what we call majoring in major. If you major in those things that God has called you to do in life, then your profession will just be like a station to acquire and to achieve that which God has put in your life. You begin to look at your profession, maybe as a lawyer, maybe as a doctor, maybe as an engineer, as a station in life. And in that station, God is expecting something from you, so that you'll be able to achieve the main purpose in this life that God has called you. Because we have only one life to live. You will not say, let me wait until next year, next time I will come back. There is nothing like that. You know, if you meet those who are superstitious, they say, in my next world. There is nothing like that. You only have one life to live. It is appointed unto man once to die. And after that, what? Judgment. There's only one life to live. And let us maximize it. Let us make the best out of this life that God has given us. Now, let's look at scripture that will help us to enlighten us and to give us direction. Hallelujah. Because as youth, we have so much time. We have so much energy. And we must maximize it. The energy that God has put inside of you, we must maximize it. Praise the Lord. And the essence of this training is like a training. Now, first of all, I must really salute the brethren who have borne the burden of this youth meeting over this course of many years. My prayer is that the Lord will encourage them and bless them mightily in Jesus' name. Because that is the vision that we have. That in this time, this generation will serve the Lord. Hallelujah! Can we sing that song? My generation shall praise your name. 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 Praise the Lord. Let's sing that song with some excitement. Because this generation must of a truth serve the Lord. In this place, we are going to have prophets and evangelists. We are going to have teachers of the word. We are going to have ministers of the gospel. Let us praise the Lord. and sing that song with understanding. Hallelujah.
Almighty God. Almighty God. My generation shall praise your name. Shall praise your name. My generation shall praise your name. My generation shall praise your name. Almighty God, Almighty God,
I am Alaba. Seated, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now the burden of this song, it will be seen that in this place we will have men like Timothy. Hallelujah. He said, for every Paul there will be Timothy. Hallelujah. There will be Titus. There will be Epaphras. Young men that were groomed by Paul because they were brought up in the world. Listen to this scripture. In 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 15. Second Timothy 3:15. He said, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. So children, from your childhood, you will get to know the scriptures. Hallelujah. Whether you're in the village, whether you're in the town, it doesn't matter where you're coming from. There is an example you can look up to this morning. He said, Timothy, from the time he was a child, he got to know the scriptures. And this scripture, he said, which are able to make thee wise. The true wisdom comes from knowing the word of God. Not the wisdom of this world. The true wisdom comes from knowing the word of the Lord. It is able to make you wise, and it is able to bring you unto salvation. You know, when we get born again, we are saved. But we continue to be saved. And it is the word of God that engineers that process of the continuing salvation that we need. You are going to be saved from the world. You are going to be saved from the devil. You are going to be saved from ungodly people. Saved from everything. Saved from the tradition of the land. It is the word of God that can do that for you. It is able to save you from many threats that are on the road that you are not aware of. You are being equipped to be able to know. Let me tell you something. As a young Christian, now, I got born again when I was in secondary school through the Scripture Union. And one of the things that Scripture Union does is that they encourage Bible study. They encourage Bible study. And you will be reading characters in the Scripture. You talk about Moses, talk about Joseph, talk about Daniel. And these are exemplary men. Do you know Daniel was around 19 years when he was in Babylon? Some of you were older than Daniel. But because of the prophetic word that Jeremiah had and that he listened to, he was able to follow on even when he was in captivity. The word of God sustained him in that situation. And so we were used to doing Bible study. And at the time when my father was to be installed as a chief, nobody had taught me about tradition. Hallelujah. Okay. You know, but my spirit ministered to me that was wrong. You know, the Spirit of the Lord ministers to you. He brings you to know the will of God. He makes you to understand, even in that place when you don't have anybody telling you this or that. But the Spirit of God inside of you will bring you to know the will of God at that time. And so I said, no, I won't be part of it. That is what God can do for you when you dwell on the word of God that is able to save your soul. It does. And you must hang on to it, because if there is any book in this world that is 100% correct, it is the Bible. So believe it, trust in it, and stand on it. It's going to give you an increase in your life and bring profit to your soul. Praise the Lord. So it will get unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. For all scripture, all that we are talking about, all, they are inspired of God. That means to say, God wrote them. That's another way to say it. God wrote, you see, God writing a letter. This is the letter he wrote to you. It was inspired by God. And it's profitable. It is profitable for doctrine. I'm going to talk about this later. But let us know that there are many benefits that the word of God gives us. It reproves us. You know, one of the things I discover in youth is that youth, they have this idea in their head. I don't know where it came from, that they know what is right and they know what to do. Youth, am I wrong? No, there is something inside of us that tells us that the action we are taking is right. Let nobody tell me this matter. Let nobody tell me this is the way to go. No, that is the lie of the enemy. And the only thing that can bring correction to you is the word of God. And gives you the pattern and the way to go. Because there's a way that seemeth right. Most of the ways, our ways, they seem to be right. But the end of it is what? Destruction. Praise the Lord. So it is able to bring reproof and correction and instruction in righteousness. We'll talk about that later. So I believe that the burden of this youth meeting is that for all of us that are hearing this message, that you will begin to see yourself as a potential teacher, a potential evangelist, a potential prophet, and any calling that God will be put upon your heart. And you can only have that by going through the word. Hallelujah. So now we want to look at what is before us as youth. You know, I mean, if any scripture has been read before and I'm reading it again, you regard it as an emphasis that God is laying on it. Praise the Lord. God may want to lay more emphasis on whatever you have been taught. Hallelujah. Now, so let's look at Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes 12. It's a very popular scripture. In short, it was even read today. And I think our emphasis has to be made on that. It said, remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, for the years draw near when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble and the strong men shall bow themselves. Hallelujah. Have you ever seen an old man before? Have you seen an old man bending like this and walking? The bones are getting very weak. The muscles are weak. And the structure, they are taking a different shape. The wrinkles, they start coming. And many changes. And that man will be walking. He will need help. And the things he could do when he was a young man, he couldn't do it again. You know, one day I tried to do 100 meters. By the time I finished, I was panting. Hallelujah. I was panting. And I say, what is going on? Because the heart is also getting weaker. The lungs are becoming fibrotic. The joints are getting stiffened. And that is the process of aging. And at that stage, there are many things that man cannot do. Is it not true? There are many things he cannot do. When they say, well, come, let's go to evangelism in Umuagbai, the man will say, now this way, Spain. I beg, can somebody find me paracetamol? So, there are many things you cannot do when you get older, because the process of aging will set in. And when it does that, you are limited. But here you are, vibrant. You are vibrant. You have energy. In short, if I take a blood sample of many of you here now, your hemoglobin will be reaching 45. The PCV will be like 45, 50. There was one child that came to the clinic. And after seeing him, I just say, you need to give us a pint of blood. He said, why? He said, your blood is too much. Because many of you now, you are eating so much. You are doing all the good things and all the things. So you have life. There is life flowing in your veins. You can do many things. They call you. You just wake up. And so this is the time to serve the Lord. Would you not rather use this energy to serve the Lord than to wait when it is wasted and you cannot do anything? So there should be the call within your heart to arise when the need arises in the house. There should be a zeal. He said, the zeal of the house of the Lord need to consume me at this age. Some of the missionaries that came to Africa, they were young men. They were young men. They were people who just finished from school. They were people who were looking for what to do for the Lord. And this is the time to do it. You can pass through jungles without even wearing any shoe. You can pass through the waters. And there's a reason for that, because there will come a time when you will not be able to do that. There will come a time when you will not be able to do some things that you use. You just wake up and do that. And there is something also at this age of our youth that has a capacity to receive. There's a capacity. You know, if you do a study on adolescence, and this is the period the enemy wants to take over, and which, by the vision of the people of God, knowing what his plans are, we're able to put a block on it. Do you know that nature abhors vacuum? If you don't store in the word of God, something else will enter there. If we don't put something that is godly and righteous, something else will come in. And so we must make use of this opportunity, of this period of our life. It is a station in our journey of this life. This period where you are is a station. And in every station, God expects you to do something. There is an expectation that is put upon you by reason of your age, by reason of what you are now, by reason of where you are standing. There is an expectation God is demanding from you. And my prayer is that we will not disappoint God in Jesus' name. We shall not disappoint God in Jesus' name. And so, what are we going to do? He goes further to say, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong man shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease, because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, is just painting a picture of the aging process, when things will become dim, when activity will slow down. Five. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be burdened, and the desire fail, you know, on and on. Hallelujah. Seven say, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. But then we are going to concentrate on what is not vanity. Because from what we see, the things of life, they come to the point where they become almost useless. I saw a picture of Aton Zeribe the other day. I don't know which Aton. I heard that more than one Aton. But this man, when in these days of his youth, he was a terror. When he speaks, when he does things, you know, the schemers. But today, I hear that, I don't know whether it's correct, but I hear that the man is under special care. He's under special care. He has to be fed. He has to be wheeled down. He has to be brought down. He has to, all of those things. And the glory of those years almost have faded away. And it's almost like vanity. But when we see these things, what manner of man ought we to be? When we hear these stories, what manner of life ought we to live? What type of calling do we have upon our lives? What goal do we desire to have in life, knowing the vanity and the inevitability of the perishing of the things of this world. It is inevitable. And so I want to encourage you. I want to ask you to choose the right path. There's a way that leads to life. And that is the way that is being taught us this morning. The way that leads to life. Hallelujah. Now, we also want to ask us to look at the comparison that God is making here between the things of this life and our soul. Let's look at Mark 8:36. I'm going to read many scriptures so that our faith will not be based on the wisdom of man, but on the word of God. Mark 8:36. He said, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" What is it that he can give in an exchange to your soul? He's giving us an idea of the value of the soul. That is what we need to concentrate on and to maximize our attention on what will bring salvation to the soul. That is the major in the major. When you do the other things of life, the Bible says, what can you compare? Of what things can you use in an exchange for your soul? Now let me start 135. He said, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it." That is this earthly life. This life that everybody says is enjoyable. This life that they present to us in television, this life that is encouraged by the world, if you concentrate on it, if you are trying to encourage it, to save it, to preserve it, he said you will lose the main life. But whosoever shall lose his life, that is to say, don't encourage this type of worldliness. Don't encourage the life that we have been told and we have been brought up to see. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. We are in the business of saving this life that God has given us. Hallelujah. You know, there is a song that says, "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine." Do we know that song? Can we sing it? "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little life of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little life of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, Let it shine. You know, when you got born again, the light of God came into you. The light of God came into you. And the scripture says that the path of the righteous is like what? A shining light that does what? And brighter and brighter and brighter. I want to say that if you are in primary school, this light started shining. When you move further up, it should shine what? Brighter. When you get into university, it should shine what? Much brighter. When you finish and you come out, you should do what? It should shine brighter and brighter. When you get married, it will be what? It will be bright. So bright. Do you know they play football at night these days? And you will think it's like a daylight. It's from what? The floodlight. You can't see darkness at all. That is the type of life God wants you to live. As you are growing, as you are moving in one stage of life to another stage of life, the light will be getting brighter and brighter and brighter until what? Until the perfect day, until that day star will appear. Hallelujah. And the Bible also agrees with it that say that when we begin to purify ourselves, if you want to see God, you do what? You begin to purify yourself. The light does what? The light purifies. It purifies. It takes away the debris. What are these debris in my life? What are these darkness in my life that this light is taking away? Taking away anger. It's taking away pride. It's taking away jealousy. It's taking away many things. Unfruitful work of darkness. The light of God as it's shining brighter and brighter in you. You are being renewed in the image of Him who called you. Hallelujah. And as you are doing that, yesterday we were talking about looking at the mirror of the Word of God. As you look at the mirror of the Word of God, you are being changed from one glory to another glory. The Word of God saying the same thing in different ways. We are being changed. We are being transformed. It is the Word of God that transforms. It is the Word of God that changes. It has the capacity because it is God Himself. The Word will be made flesh inside of you. That is what it means that your light will shine brighter from one stage of your life. And all of you, as you go back home, your parents should be able to testify to this. Hallelujah! Do you know that the first place where this thing will manifest is at home? If they begin to see changes, it's a man, this boy doesn't grumble again. He doesn't make his face tight anymore. And he does the work with joy. The joy of the Lord will be your strength. Hallelujah. They send you on an errand. And you just do that. Even though your parents may be imperfect. Do you know Jesus lived under imperfect parents? He was God in the form. And he knew their limitation. But he was a good boy. He served their parents, his parents, and he came out as an example, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The way to maximize this life is to look unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Let's look at that scripture. Hebrews chapter 12. from verse 2. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. You know, sometimes you think you want to faint, don't you? Sometimes you think that you need some strength. Sometimes you think you need some encouragement. Sometimes you think you need to be spoken to. Sometimes you need somebody to let you know that it is not as tough as it is. So, don't faint. It's an encouragement. Don't faint. We don't need to faint. And the reason why Lord is laying all this information the world into our hearts is that this race is not a 100-meter dash. It is what? It's a marathon. It's a marathon journey. It's a marathon journey. This race that we are running, the race we are running, is a marathon race. Hallelujah. You know, if you have been listening to news, they just finished or they're still going on, International Athletic Federation, and there are people who have been training for the past 4 years because of this. People are training. Some people will go to Kenya and they will stay there because of the height and because they want to have the capacity to be able to walk at a very low level of oxygen, and so they spend time to go to such places. Some people go to Ethiopia and they want to stay there for a what? For a crown that is perishable. And they what? They even adjust their diet. They don't eat any type of food. You don't need to eat any type of food as an athlete that is aiming to have gold in the Olympics or in the final of the World Athletic Federation. You don't need to eat anything any other people are eating. You discipline yourself. We discipline ourselves in this, our walk with the Lord, because that is a crown that we are looking forward to, not a perishable crown. You know, Paul described it very clearly in. So look at that scripture. It will really help us. That's 1 Corinthians 9. Okay. Yeah. Nine what verse? Verse. Okay. From verse 9:24. He said, know ye not that they which run in a race, they run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. I therefore so run. But this is something we need to take seriously. He said, I therefore so run. Uncertainly. So, fat I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Sometimes I begin to look at Paul, the seriousness that he attached to his calling, bringing that ought to be the same seriousness we should attach to this thing that we have been, we have been taught. He said, we don't run anyhow. Have you seen a man running a race and is wearing bongo trouser? Do you know bongo trouser? So some of you didn't see bongo trouser. How many of you saw bongo trouser? Bongo? Okay, very few of you. Hallelujah. Or you are running and you are wearing abada. You know abada? You are running. Hallelujah. Brethren, there is a way. There is a way. There is a way to go here. Hallelujah. There's a way to go. There are things that are allowed, and there are things that are not allowed. It is part of the discipline that we don't run anyhow. We don't talk anyhow. We don't dress anyhow. Praise the Lord. Am I coming down? We don't do things anyhow. You see, I subject myself. There's a level of discipline that is expected of you and me. There are ways of life that are expected of you and me. And Paul says, I don't want to live anyhow. I don't want to live anyhow. So that at the end of it, I will become a castaway. So, we can begin to gauge the seriousness of the calling upon our lives. More so, because it is not a 100-meter dash. It's a marathon race. It's endurance. I was looking at one lady that was running, is it 15,000 or 10,000 meters? And she ran with, that is a strength from the beginning to the end. It didn't come in one day. It didn't come by chewing granite. It came as a result of hard work over many years. Value every word that is being given to you. Value every instruction that is being given to you, because they add up to the backbone that you need at this time to be able to make the journey. If you want to build a big house, have you seen these skyscrapers? Have you seen the skyscrapers? Before they build them, they do what? They have very strong foundation. Strong and deep. The foundation, they are building the house. You see, this type of house, what happened? For the past 3 months, no block has come up. They are still working. You go to the site, people are still working. Work is going on. They are laying the foundation because they are thinking of the storm that is going to come. that thinking of the tsunamis that is going to come, and what is happening now and what has been happening over years, is to give you the right foundation that will last you for the many years. Many of you are still in your 19s, in your adolescence. Many of you are in your 20s. Few people are in the 30s. You still have a long way. You have a long way to go. And the right foundation is important for you to make the best out of this life. Praise the Lord. Now, in this journey of life, we must take care that we are not overcharged. We don't be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness. Don't be overcharged with the things that are around you. Don't move in the midst of where it is happening. Don't be overcharged. Because, you see, the things of this life, they're like wine. And don't submit yourself to them. In this journey of life, we must endeavor to be submissive. Submission to authority. Youths, submission to authority is what will save you from many heartbreaks. Submission to authority is what will save you from a life of wretchedness. And the submission starts at home. And it be seen in the church. And don't say, who are they to tell me what to do? Like I said, the word of God is profitable for what? For correction and for reproof. Submit to authority. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's have his last scripture. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 13. First Peter 2, 13 to 17. He said, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Praise the Lord. You must be submissive to the school authority where you are. Submit to your employers where you are working as you are an employee. Submission is important. And in doing that, you will silence many men who are questioning your faith. For in so doing, you will prove that you are the true son of God. Hallelujah. Now, we must also take heed of the doctrines. The doctrines, the things that we are taught, it is very, very important. The doctrines that we hear, the things we are taught, the belief that we are meant to follow on with, they are crucial to your success in life as a young man of God. If you look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 16, he says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, I want to give us one example of a doctrine, the way it can affect your way of life and affect your calling as a child of God. Now, let's say, do some of you know that Jesus, that he came to this earth as a man? How many of us know that? That Jesus came to this earth as a man. He was God, but he came as a man. Now, what is the practical implication of that? What is the practical implication of that? Who can tell us? That Jesus came as a man. He overcame as a man. What is the practical implication for you and me in that statement? Yes? Does anybody know? Eh? What is the practical implication? Yes, Simeon. Amen. It means that I can follow him as a man. It means that I have an example. I have no reason to fail because he carried this flesh. Because we read that he was tired and he did what? And he rested. He said after he fasted, he did what? He was hungry. He had to eat. He said, I don't know the day my father will come. He said, only my father knows that. So, he had the limitation of a man, and yet, he did not commit any sin. The practical implication is that I can also overcome. Hallelujah. Because that is the practical implication of. He said, doctrine is important. It is important. It helps you to have an understanding of what life is all about and the seriousness of it. The doctrine does not make light of the truth of the word of God. The doctrine that says that sin is sin and you call sin, you don't say, oh, it was one of my challenges. Have you had such things? I had some challenges. What does that mean? What are the challenges? He may say, I have a problem with lust. Brethren, pray for me. I have a problem of anger. Brethren, pray for me. Doctrines that says what sin is and says the degree to which God looks at it. It helps you. It makes you to be more serious. The doctrine that tells you the consequences of sin. God told Adam, in the day thou shalt eat of this, you will surely do what? You will surely die. Did Adam die? He died. He died spiritually first before the natural death came. So, we must know what God has in mind when he says certain things. And because, he said, because sin was reigning, because of that, death also was reigning. So, if you don't want death to come over you, you have to stop to sin. Hallelujah. So, that is the practical implication of the doctrines that we are talking about. The doctrines help you to get serious into God. When we know what God means and we determine to do it, then God will help us. Hallelujah. The problem is that we are not being told the truth most of the times in the places where we were before. They did not bring it out to us and tell us that there are consequences to sin. There are consequences, young man. Young woman, there are consequences to the things that are not right. And don't think that, oh, I will do it and after I will go and repent. No. There are consequences. So doctrines are important. And it will let you to know the mind of God about every situation. And you will be very careful. Sometimes you put it as this one, na high tension wire, high tension. Don't go near it. You tell yourself, this one here is high tension. Every sin is high tension wire. Don't near it. If you have this understanding, then you will not go near sin. What does high tension do? What does high tension do? It kills you immediately. But some of us are saying, how close can I go to near tension wire? You know, some people are saying, brethren, can you tell me how close I can go to the near tension that it will not kill me? How close can I go near the rail line so that the train will not hit me? How close can I go? The Bible is saying, flee. Hallelujah. You don't have to stay. You have to do what? Flee. Joseph understood that message. When that woman came, what did Joseph do? He did what? He didn't say, oh, woman, leave me now. Now this hand, you are touching me. I beg, leave me. You know, some sisters in university, unbelievers will be touching you. And they'll be rubbing your hand. You say, leave me, oh, leave me. Leave me, babe, leave me. What do you do? Flee. Flee. Don't stay near. From touching, something else will happen. From touching, do you know that all of you here, the level of your hormone at this age is surging very high? The level of, for the men, the testosterone level, if I measure the thing now, in some of you, especially those who have beards. Hallelujah! Your testosterone level is very high. All it needs is contact. All it needs is what? Contact. And once that contact happens, there is a signal. A signal is sent to some of those areas. You know those areas. You will take speaking in tongues sometimes. Why did you go there to the first time? You are speaking in tongues now. You have to avoid those things. Yes, no need. Relationships in your journey of this life, you must take it seriously. Relationship, especially between young boys and young girls. The young boy is a positive magnet. The woman is negative. Once they come close, they do what? They come together. North and South Pole. So please stay away. Because it will come together. It will come. Be careful of the relationships. The scripture says what? Evil corrupts. What concord does, who can commit that scripture for us? Eh? I thought you people are student of the Bible. You say, what concord has what? Eh? Light with and Belial with what? Eh? Let's read the scripture. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 6:15. 2 Corinthians. Okay, let's start from 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part had he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement had the temple of God with idols. For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in you, I will walk in you, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. Praise the Lord! So, brethren, value your what? Value your what? Say, you are the crown prince of heaven. Hallelujah! Can you know that? You are the crown prince. You don't need to go. It's just like seeing Prince Williams moving around, and it doesn't go anyhow. It doesn't move anyhow. He doesn't go to anywhere. There are places he cannot go. You are the crown prince. You are more than of value than Prince Williams. Of higher value. You know, it is when we don't know our value that we want to mix up with these people. And please, don't be afraid to be alone. Don't be afraid to sound as if you are odd. God is building the capacity in you so that even if you go to Berlin and you are alone, you are able to stand. Hallelujah! Wherever you are, some of you will go out. Some of you will go to places to go and study. Some of you will go as students. Let God build up a capacity in you that will cause you to stand even in a strange land. Hallelujah! So that you will know. And that is why we are talking about storing yourself with the word of God. I was describing somebody to somebody that when you store the word of God, it's like you are loading your gun. You know bazooka? You are loading the bazooka with the word of God. And anyone that comes, you begin to do what? You begin to shoot. You say, don't go near that one, no. Don't go near. Do you know in the campus, there are some sisters, they say, don't go near this one. We are giving you examples. They say, don't go near this one. This one are dry. This thing, you can't get water from the other girl. The same thing with boys. Store up. Store. Store this. But you see, I speak to you, young men, because you are strong. Because the word of God abideth in you. You are strong because of the word of God that abides in you. You are able to overcome the wiles of the enemy. He comes like a roaring lion sometimes, but he comes like a serpent. It is when he comes like a serpent that you are able to understand the wiles of the enemy. You can stand because you are well guarded. You are strong. So be careful of the relationship that you make. The ones that you have made that are not helping you, you break it. You must do what? You must break it. Hallelujah! If it is to stand alone, you stand alone. You are not alone. Hallelujah! God is with you. The Holy Spirit is you. Is in you. He will help you and He will guide you. So don't be afraid to be different. Who we are in the Lord. And you must know one thing. In the midst of your standing alone, remember that God says that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. It doesn't matter who you are, whether you are short, whether you are tall, whether you are black, whether you are white, whether you have a flat nose or long nose, you are what? Fearfully and wonderfully made. So you have to rejoice in who you are as a Christian and as a child of God, crown prince of heaven. That is who you are. So let's not be preoccupied with trying to make ourselves to look what God has not made us to be. There was a story of one young lady who was born very short, with a flat nose and with a Chinese face, and she was not happy with her looks. And she was thinking, oh God, why have you made me this way? She got born again and started growing in the word of the Lord. And the time came when there was a call to go to a mission in China. And somehow she had the calling upon her life. that she will go to China. Do you know, as soon as she arrived in China and landed in the land, people who there thought that it was their sister they were looking for many years back, they thought she was their sister that they were looking for many years back, and she settled freely and was able to bring ministry to them. Value who you are. Value the way you are made. We are all fearfully and wonderfully made. So don't concentrate in the outward appearance of trying to make yourself. Many of us have a lot of layers on our faces. All this. Let's concentrate in the inner beauty that before God is of a great price. Hallelujah! And God will take you to anywhere. God will establish you and fulfill your ministry, because that is who you are. All of us have different roles to play. We will not be the same thing because we have different faces. God has also placed us in different directions. Discover the thing that God has asked you to say. You must, the calling of God upon your life, you must search out for it. You must wait on it. Wait on the calling that God has given you. And it is very important at this time that you discover it on time and be able to concentrate on that which God has called you to do in this life. Then finally, we must restore the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. If after we have done everything and we don't talk about the fear of the Lord, it wouldn't have been complete. Because the fear of the Lord is what? Is the beginning of... What does that mean? What does it mean? The fear of the Lord is the ABC of our walk with the Lord. Do you know, when I teach you ABC, after some time, you can begin to write letters. You can begin to write composition. You can begin to communicate. The foundation of our walk with the Lord is the fear of the Lord. It is what establishes you. When Joseph was in Egypt, he had no Bible. He had no fellowship. There was no church. There was nothing. But the fear of the Lord was what sustained him. If you go to the remotest place, or you stand alone and evil confronts you, it is the fear of the Lord that will save you. He said, how can I do this wicked thing? He considered that as wicked because he feared God. My prayer is that God will restore the fear of the God of the Lord in our hearts. And cause it to increase. And cause it to abound everywhere and every time. So that as we are going, we carry the fear of the Lord with us. Hallelujah. Another scripture too that will be of help to us, and I begin to round up, is Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4, 2 to 3. He said, but unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for there shall be ashes under thy sole of your feet in that day that I shall do this, say the Lord of hosts. The fear of the Lord strengthens you to do battle against the enemies of our soul. And as we Sing this song. So as we sing this song, I want us to stand up and respond, you know, to this word. Then we'll, after that, we'll have some questions. Psalm 19, verse 9. Let's read that scripture and sing that song. Psalm 19, verse 9. The fear of the Lord. Can we sing that song? Psalm 19. We start from the beginning. I mean from verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Praise the Lord.